Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 420, The Sex Number. I am Smart, and I am Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And we're brain geniuses.
Yes.
And unfortunately, Shiva is sick, or she's feeling sick, so she's not here with us this week.
So we are back on the Fuzzwolf patio here.
Yep. It's a beautiful evening. We didn't get any hail last night like they were predicting. It was going to be like this hailmageddon. And one of the ladies in her complex, she like taped cardboard over her car windows.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, there's people that put blankets out on their cars.
I saw one online where someone had taken pool noodles and strapped a bunch of them together and laid pool noodles over the entire length of the car.
Honestly, that would probably work.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you anchored it to the car well enough, it would deflect a lot of the impact of hail.
And I saw a post from like one of the local TV stations today saying, sorry, your car doesn't look like this morning. And it was like an older picture of a car that had the windshield all jacked up with hail. And they were like, yeah, apparently the massive hail didn't really materialize in the populated areas.
Yeah.
It said that, like, very rural areas where there wasn't really anybody may have gotten some, but
it wasn't like we had the hail that came through a little bit here a couple weeks ago, or it was, like, pea-sized, nickel-sized for 5 minutes, and then it was done.
Mm-hmm.
So, thankfully, that was not the problem. We didn't have to deal with that, and none of us lost windows around here, at least.
Yeah. Man, that's something. Even like those tiny little pea-sized hails sound loud as all fuck when you're inside a building. You know?
Yeah, and they scare the hell out of Adam too.
Yeah, I bet.
When we know there's storms, we'll leave like the bathroom door so you can go hide in the closet. Otherwise, he'll knock and wake us up. But he didn't even feel the need to go hide there last night. It was nice.
I remember it being very lightningy. I went to bed too late. I read to bed around 1 or 1:30, and there was like lightning constantly, and Tyrion's like, that fucking lightning, because it was actually keeping us awake, because we gone to bed too late.
Yeah. Well, a storm has passed, and now there's still a storm going in Washington. We're just going to be pros and segue right into this shit.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, too. Like,
so, the redacted version of the Mueller report finally came out today, and a million billion people are going to be pontificating about this, so we're not going to spend too long about it, because honestly, we see it, we go, yeah, he's a dumb shit. And yeah, he's been doing all sorts of illegal stuff. And this is not a surprise, but because of the traitors in the Senate, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, yeah, they impeached Clinton
over a blowjob.
And, like, they're not going to impeach this president over, you know, allegedly colluding with Russia and all the other dumb shit things he's done to enrich himself, you know, through the office of the White House.
And the revelation that, oh yeah, it was some Australian meeting going that prompted this, not the Steele dossier, even though there was a thing that was pulled up in the non-redacted portions that some Russian was like, oh yeah, we've stemmed the tide of tapes from Russia, so P-tape is real.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've joked about the P-tape being real forever, but apparently it is real enough. You know, as Trump said, he could kill somebody on Fifth Avenue and nobody would give a fuck. His cultists would still like him. And
yep.
It's a real disappointing time. Like, there's still shit that's going on. There's still like a dozen more investigations that are occurring. You know, the damage to ongoing something or other was the phrase. And okay. People have made lots of jokes about it.
I'm amused that HBO has formally requested that he stop using the Game of Thrones meme text in his tweets.
Yeah, because he had a stupid meme ready to go again.
Yeah.
As if he knew what was going to be said before Barr said it. Wow. It's like,
I know,
he's
right?
The counsel to the president, not the counsel for the United States. Wow. Fucking traitorous scum. I mean, he only covered up Rand Contra.
Yeah.
This guy has a history.
And I saw one quote tweet today. No, actually, that was a screen cap of Trump's tweet, because they probably didn't want to give him the bandwidth. And a lot of us probably have him blocked. I don't actually have him blocked, because, like, I want to see some shit if he says something stupid.
I have him blocked, but then, like, it does have that tantalizing button that still show anyway. You know, what's behind the curtain?
Yeah, I saw
that. It's the terrible version of Mastodon's show more.
There's a comment from someone you muted or blocked. Would you like to see what's in the box?
But yes, there's already furries making porn memes about this.
Yeah. Oh, but anyway, what the thing actually said was, can you believe this guy is the fucking president? And it's sort of like, yeah, posting memes about major criminal activities, you know? It's not like Obama did the funny thing where he tried to pour a beer, but the glass was too short, and he goes, thanks, Obama.
No, he tried to dunk a cookie in a glass of milk.
Oh, and the cookie was too big or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, that was cute, that was funny, but, like, he wasn't being accused of literally being a traitor.
I mean, he was presidenting while black, so, you know, that was a major crime.
They fucking dragged him over to Kohl's for wearing a tan suit.
And saluting while holding a coffee cup.
Yeah, and then, like, that was... Then a bunch of pictures of Bush saluting or not saluting and stuff came up, and it's sort of like...
It's this dumb double standard.
It is. It's a dumbass double standard, and this fucker.
Traitors corporate media.
I could go on forever.
So, the thing is, with this redacted report, there's a million things, like, you know, that are blocked out for various things, and the harm to ongoing matter. So, the artist, Chuni... So
what was that a reference to? I know it's a reference to the Mueller report, and yeah, I saw that one. But, like, what was that... just one part in a sea of black?
For every redacted paragraph or whatever, the reasoning was marked as, like, confidential information or harm to ongoing matter, which everyone's like, well, okay, the harm to ongoing matter is relating to
ongoing criminal investigation or trial, someone that's already been indicted but hasn't gone to trial or something like that.
But it also just is this sea of black. And there's this visualization, like, it's a full third of the report is completely redacted, in whole or in part. So now the Democrats in the House are going to be subpoenaing it, the entirety of it, so we'll see if that happens.
Yeah, I think the politicians, the people that are in office, supposedly representing us, should be able to see the full unredacted report. You know, and if they have to file an NDA or something like that, that's fine. But, like, I want the people that make the decision whether to impeach, prosecute anybody to actually be able to see all of this fucking thing. That should be a given.
You would think. There's a lot that's still going to be processed. I mean, it came out today. I saw it. And there was these Twitter wonks that went on 160-plus tweet mega threads about this. And I'm like, my dude, I don't have time for this.
Get a podcast. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Post a long-form article on Medium or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's important, but there's a lot to be digested, and it came out this morning. Neither you nor I have taken the time to read it. We've seen the people post on Twitter and the little excerpts and, like, lol, P-tape reel.
Today was a busy day at my day job for me, and I was in the office. So I just had my phone. It wasn't like I was at home looking on my laptop about it or anything.
Yeah. Like, the thing about P-tape reel is, like, Comey's briefing included the Steele reporting's unverified allegation that the Russians had compromising tapes of the president involving conduct when he was a private citizen during a 2013 trip to Moscow. On October 30th, 2016, Michael Cohen received a text from a Russian businessman, Grigory something Russian surname, that said, stopped flow of tapes from Russia, but not sure if there's anything else, just so you know. Person said tapes referred to compromising tapes of Trump rumored to be held by persons associated with the Russian real estate conglomerate Crocus Group, which had helped host, and it trails off. So, okay, yeah, there's all this dumb, shady stuff that's been going on for a very long time, and we have it all there in plain text, and even then, the stuff that's redacted, like, even without that, there's still just tons of crimes and crimes upon crimes.
Considering apparently the report's quite long, so even with a third of it redacted, there's a lot of material.
It's still like 200 plus pages of text.
I mean, it's a year-long investigation.
Yeah, and the other thing that I thought was really funny is that they declined to prosecute Don Jr. because they're like, he's too stupid to know that this is a crime, which is honestly a cop-out, because if I sell oregano in a bag claiming it's marijuana, I can still be arrested. If I talk to somebody...
I didn't know that, actually, just for... I mean, it wouldn't be for lying, I guess.
No, it'd be like, oh, you were selling... You were claiming to sell illegal drugs. You know, ignorance of the law is no excuse. It's what they say every time, except if you're the son of the president.
Ignorance of the law didn't stop that dumbass from being caned in Singapore years ago.
Yeah. You know, rules for thee and not for me, except flip that around. And this massive report where, yeah, everybody's like, yeah, this president is a massive crook and criminal. Mm-hmm. But because of the Senate and the traitor McConnell, we'll see nothing of it until 2020 at minimum. Like, okay, cool, it's out there.
Yeah.
But I don't feel any better about the situation.
Yeah, I mean, this is something we're not going to know for a while. And it might be something that the country doesn't know for 70 years.
Yeah.
You know, they're just declassifying shit from... like around the Kennedy and Johnson administrations. I mean, there's shit about Nixon they're still uncovering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff that, you know, it's classified for however long and then it comes out next generation, you know, implying the United States will still exist 60 years from now. Someday the forefathers of our cyber children will.
Yeah.
When everybody's a brain in a jar and we have, you know, fully automated luxury gay space communism, we might survive to see that. But
we'll that see. Sounds like it should be a Pepper Coyote song. You know, along the line of the AA battery control telescopic knife, you know, what was it?
Fully automated luxury queer space communism.
Right.
So, Pepper, if you're listening, you should get on that.
There's my fully automated luxury queer
space communism. Yeah. We don't gotta work. That's our weird quirk. And we're really gay.
Oh, I don't know if either of us dropped it in the chat, but another fucked up thing that I saw pop up on the news recently is Bannon buying this old monastery
in Italy.
It's Italy.
He leased it for 20 years to make, like, religious warriors.
Yeah,
that's gonna go well, you know? Italy, they don't have a history with fascists at all. They're real good at resisting that, and nothing bad is coming from there.
But he was being interviewed and talking about how this Pope is on the wrong side of history and, you know, like, yeah, we're going to take down the Pope, I guess. And he's like, so you're starting an academy for Christian warriors? And he's like, yes. And the interviewer goes, that's terrifying. Like, just flat out was like, what the fuck's wrong with you, dude?
And it's like, is this Protestants? Is this other Catholics? Do we have a Catholic schism terrorist group? Do we just have your bog standard evangelicals that are responsible for just as much terrorism in the world in various forms?
It's not brown. That's all it is.
Yes. Like, they're there to fight against... Like, this isn't Assassin's Creed, y'all. This isn't Assassin's Creed 2, that trilogy of games where you're fighting the corrupt popes, the Borgia popes in the Renaissance times. They're on the Xbox 360. They were a lot of fun.
Cool. Sounds like it, but it's sort of... That's the thing about storytelling, you know, books, video games, whatever. A lot of our shit, like, comes true. Like, humans are actually fairly decent at predicting things. So when you read shit that was written in the 30s and 40s about how here's how fascism could come to America, and then, you know, the Second World War happens and it dies down for a little while, and then, you know, they start building back up on that side, and, like, it's terrifying. History repeats, and we are not fucking learning from it at all. I wish I'd been a history buff earlier in life and read up a lot more, like, in school and stuff.
It's like, It Can't Happen Here by Sinclair Lewis was written in 1935.
Yeah.
And why couldn't we have got the culture novels?
Yeah.
You know, where everyone's, like, gay and in space and can swap genders at will and, you know, survive and decapitation.
Even Star Trek, this is a bleak time in their future history. Like, Cochrane's flight, I think, was in, like, 2065 or something like that. But it was after the Third World War. when most of the world was decimated. People are all living like refugees. So, you know, between now and warp travel, we have that to look forward to.
Well, there was that one episode of Deep Space Nine where they went back to the grim past of, I think, 2019 Earth in San Francisco, where we had locked up refugees in cages.
Shit. I vaguely remember the episode, but I don't remember the specifics. Like, holy shit. I wouldn't be surprised if someone pulled that up and was like, whoa.
Time travel episode. I'm Googling it live. Because, yeah, I distinctly remember.
Time travel, it's called Deep Space Nine.
Okay, so it's gonna past tense in the 5750th episode, season 3, episodes 11 and 12. They were set in the earliest. Oh, they materialize in San Francisco in 2024.
Yeah, a whopping 5 years from now.
Yeah, so that's fun, because those episodes aired in, what, 96? 95, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was probably mid-90s, 95.
In the grim future of 2024, I'm using in the, well, we're talking about shit in science fiction coming true, and, well, uh-oh.
Jeez, man.
So, that's perhaps our future. Let's hope not. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the past, though, there was also this week the fire at Notre Dame. That was a real sad thing to see happen.
It was, but the result of it is almost sadder.
Yeah.
Like, three French billionaires immediately threw hundreds of millions of dollars at it. And it's like, great. They'll be able to rebuild it. It's a big cultural artifact. That's lovely. It's already raised like $1 billion to restore it. But because it's a great white cultural artifact. So a lot of other news has been popping up about, number one, these three black churches, historically black churches that were burned down in Alabama. Government didn't rush to offer them assistance. Private citizens are raising money through GoFundMe. And yeah, they're doing well. They got at least $1 million by now, I think.
Yeah.
But it just sort of shows the double standard. And Trump tweeting like, oh, they should do this and they must act quickly. I'm like, they're fucking firefighters. I'm pretty sure they know that they have to act quickly. They're not like, well, you know,
it's just a cultural artifact from the 1300s.
It's not climate change. They're not going to be like, well, we got like 12 years to put out this fire and, you know, we'll let our grandkids worry about it.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, and apparently what Trump suggested, you know, choppers and planes dumping water would have actually destroyed a lot more of the building.
Oh, yeah. So on one hand, I love architecture. I wrote a paper on this in college.
Yeah.
It was nice because this was just an electrical short or something.
Right.
Through, like, cheap contractors not doing their due diligence.
And they really lucked out, though, because, like, they had moved a bunch of the big historical artifacts, including all of these statues that were around the spire that collapsed.
Yeah.
They had already moved all that shit off-site.
They'd moved all the relics out, a lot of the art.
And this place had been, apparently, it was a dump in the mid to late 1800s. Like, it was considered an eyesore. Until Victor Hugo wrote his novel about it, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and then that got it, like, a lot of press, and suddenly the French saw it as an important cultural artifact and put a lot of work into getting it restored in the late 19th century.
Yeah.
So, you know, not all of it is 800 years old or whatever. So,
no, it's been rebuilt and reconstructed. Like, they've had, like, it got damaged in World War II and has been rebuilt. I mean, it's still the same building.
Yeah.
Over time, but they've done restoration and
repair. And they already had, I was actually really impressed, honestly, the thing I read about. They've already got this whole forest of trees that they planted like a century ago to grow to the right size and type of wood that they would need if they ever needed to replace the wood because of the roof. Because, hey, wood rots over time. And they knew they were going to have to do it at some point or if a fire happened. And a fire happened. But they've already prepped for it. Yeah, Notre Dame has gotten a lot of press, and yeah, it's a really old building, and you know we should preserve that kind of culture and that kind of glass making from 800 years ago and shit. But at the same time, there's also this campaign in China to genocide the Uyghurs, who are...
That's how you pronounce it?
Uyghur, yeah. Okay. I'd heard it on the radio a couple years ago. But yeah, it's Uyghur, at least according to the correspondence I was listening to at the time. They have apparently razed more than one mosque to the ground that was like...
Older
than this. Like 1,200 years old or something like that. And this is one that, like, they had also, like, restored it. They'd done, like, major restoration on it in the 80s and 90s. And they were, like, sort of bringing it back, recreating their community. But now the Chinese government is trying to get rid of them all. They're basically Chinese Muslims.
Yeah.
And
they've got millions in concentration camps.
Yeah, and their government wants to basically wipe them out. Like, I didn't hear about this until Notre Dame burned. And people were like, hey, you know, this shit's happening over here.
It's like, this sucks, but this is also happening, and it also sucks.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, the news media doesn't care, you know, about anything really happening outside.
Well, the real shitty thing
cultural identity
is that immediately there were people on the net trying to blame Muslims for this. That, oh, you know, like, up to making fake videos about it, overlaying happy, you know, doing Photoshops where it's like a group of happy Muslim people and then like the burning of the photo in the background. It's like just, it's a fucking layer swap, you know? It's not hard to make
these
this
stuff.
These are
the same fucking assholes that are like, no, let's not politicize this gun-related tragedy. You know, let's let people mourn. And then, like, the same day this fucking building is burning, they're like, I bet it was Islamic terrorism.
You know, you had Glenn Beck out there, you had fucking Alex Jones doing this stuff, and it's like, it's nothing more than these people looking for an excuse to feel oppressed so they can justify their hatred. You know, there's these illustrations of, like, it was this bizarre illustration that was, like, Notre Dame burning, and there's this green hand holding like a rainbow wig, and the frog puts on his Nazi hat. And it's supposed to be like, oh, you know, I'm done being a clown, time to go back to being a fascist. And it's this artist that's trying to imply that, oh, it's time to genocide the brown people because Notre Dame burned because of an electrical short or something. It ain't that deep, man. Like, Notre Dame's it isn't some terrorist thing. Notre Dame's been surrounded by armed guards for fucking years. It's not... This literally was a fire took off on the scaffolding at the top. You know, did someone sneak in to do the work and then be like, oh, I'm going to drop my cigarette here on the pile of turpentine? No.
Oh, and the other thing is, oh, God, Christians that were posted a picture of the unburnt cross.
Yeah.
And they were like, how can you not believe in God when you see that this cross was not burned? And two responses to that. First of all, was the scientist that was like, well, the melting, burning point of gold is like several hundred degrees Celsius higher than that of wood. So, and the fire didn't get that far. And then the other one was the picture of the burnt out McDonald's where only the Ronald McDonald statue survived. And they're like, only Ronald was spared all this devastation around him. How can you not believe in Ronald McDonald after looking at this picture?
Yeah. It was also weird because, like, this didn't burn. It's like, well, neither did the benches. This cross was at the other end of the sanctuary, and, like, the roof was on fire, and the roof is, like, 100 feet above you, and didn't necessarily all fall in. It's just goofy.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's sad, but the reactions have really...
Yeah, I mean, it has put into sharp relief what the rich will pay for and what they won't. You know, $1 billion for Notre Dame, but we can't fix Flint's water.
Right, yeah. Oh, apparently the money was just released this week, like $70 million or something like that for Flint's water. They haven't had clean water since 2014.
Yeah, and I'll believe it when I see it, which sucks. But, like, okay, well, the money theoretically exists. Well, once the people of Flint have clean water and aren't getting lead poisoned and getting brown junk through the taps, I'll believe you.
And it's not even just that. There's like one of the Native American tribal reservations has, it's like arsenic in their groundwater or something like that.
Probably from mining.
Probably. Or fracking, very likely. Because a lot of those areas are in the Dakotas and places like that, right along where all those pipelines are and everything.
Yeah. It sucks that it happened. It's good that they already pulled all the, like, relics and art and stuff out. Mm-hmm. But it also kind of shows where people's priorities are in terms of, help fellow man? No, but we'll fix this church.
Yeah.
There are better ways that humanity could spend that money. Plus, the Catholic Church has the money to fix it themselves. Just saying.
True. You know, and I'm very impressed with their fire department, though, because their fire department actually had, like, a, if this ever happens, plan of action. They're like, here's the order that we save things. The people were number one. Luckily, I don't think there was anybody in it at the time.
Yeah.
But they made sure there was no people there, that there was, like, an order of the most important shit that they had to save if they could.
Yeah.
And one of the firemen is actually a priest. Like, they actually had him on staff, and it was his job to go and run into, like, and get, like, the deepest part of the thing, wherever it was, and save some relics with, like, no thought to his own life. And I'm like, part of me is like, that dedication is kind of impressive, but
it's just stuff.
At the same time, yeah, it's stuff. And I don't know. I don't know where I am culturally, to be honest. Like, I don't even know if I care about all this really old shit. I mean, I'm more concerned about our future than our past. History and what's happened, what caused bad things to happen is important to know. But I don't know. I've never really had I've never really cared that much about, oh, this shit's really old, you know. I mean, I have and I haven't, you know?
You know, I want to go see it. It'd be cool to see if I ever go out to France, but the odds of me doing that anytime soon are really low, so I don't have the, you know, there's people very upset by this, and that's completely valid. Yeah. But I saw that and I'm like, man, that fucking sucks. I went on with my day.
But at the same time, we've lost shit that's thousands of years old in the Syrian Civil War.
Or the Iraq War, or
yeah, or like Egypt. All the shit that like ISIS was going around just destroying Muslim artifacts from the other sect of Muslim that they're not, or the other sect of Islam that they're not a part of. You know, I mean, people are destroying old shit all the time, and that's like, yeah, that's a tragedy, but
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we put too much stock in this stuff sometimes, you know.
Well, as an aside and relating to Notre Dame specifically, up until the 25th, so for like a week, you can go and download Assassin's Creed Unity free, which has, it's a 5-year-old video game. It's free on the Uplay store. They've patched most of the bugs out by now, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it has one of the highest quality recreations of Notre Dame in 3D space. It's like the entirety of the building was like laser scanned to make it ultra accurate.
Yeah.
So you can fuck around inside Notre Dame at the height of the terror. So that's neat. And it's free to keep. So you just have to go like sign into Uplay and download and like assign it to your account. You don't have to download it.
Yeah. I mean, at least we have plenty of records of this building.
Yeah.
You know, there's like millions of pictures.
One of the windows survived entirely. What, the organ survived?
I heard all the windows survived.
Yeah. Okay, I'd heard at least one window survived. And the thing is, those windows, all the glass is from the 20th century. They've replaced it over time because glass loosens and falls out. They just go, oh, well, that sucks. And they replace it with an identical piece because we have such good records of it.
I thought they were really concerned about the old glass-making techniques that we don't know how to make anymore.
No.
Because of chemicals.
I mean, can't necessarily recreate it exactly anymore, but we can also do it without giving ourselves lead poisoning. So there's that.
Yeah.
But Assassin's Creed Unity, it's free. You should download it and run around as a Frenchman and, you know, chop off some aristocrats' heads.
Yeah, bring that back.
So, gonna shift the topic. Man angry about virginity pleads guilty to threatening woman. This is the virgin terrorist versus the Chad prosecutor.
Yes.
In Salt Lake City, Utah, where bad things come from. Sorry if you live in Salt Lake and or Utah. That sucks. I feel bad for you, son. In Salt Lake City, a man has pleaded guilty to felony terroristic threats after authorities said he threatened to target women in a mass shooting because he couldn't get a girlfriend. Utah prosecutor Chad Granader tells the Deseret News that 27-year-old Christopher W. Cleary, I wonder if that's Wayne. If it's Wayne, that's a criminal middle name. of Denver was in court Thursday. Police said Cleary wrote on Facebook he was planning to become a mass shooter because he was still a virgin and wanted to kill as many women as possible. He was arrested during a trip to Provo, Utah on January 19th, the same day women marches were held around the country. Colorado authorities have said he was on probation after stalking and threatening women there. His attorney did not immediately return messages seeking comment. This is only amusing because the prosecutor's name was Chad.
Yeah, like when I saw the headline about, you know, incel versus Chad prosecutor, and then I clicked the article and saw that the prosecutor's name is actually Chad, I was like, oh, this is too perfect. Just, oh, God, fuck these people.
It's like, look, if you weren't such an asshole, you could maybe get a girlfriend.
You know, I'm not going to make fun of... Yeah, I know. I'm not going to make fun of somebody for being a virgin at 27. I mean...
I didn't lose my virginity until I was, like, 24.
Yeah, I was 22. So, like... I
mean, late blooming happens, dude.
Late blooming happens. I mean, nobody really... Well, okay, I won't say nobody, but, I mean, the whole thing about people losing their virginity when they're, like, 14 or 16, you know, oh, I got so much ass in high school, man. It's like, majority of people are just talking shit when they talk like that, you know? And, but it, I mean, it does put the thoughts in the heads of people that are that maybe have some issues. And,
like that they're owed sex.
And that they're, yeah, they think they're owed sex. And they think everyone is fucking except for them. They think that old song, everyone has more sex than me,
is legit.
Is a thing to actually be concerned about. And I'm just like, fucking rub one out, man.
You tried not being so much of a prick and tried being nicer to women and, you know, taking care of yourself?
I was fine until my 20s, just jerking off. What's wrong with people that think this way?
Well, don't you know, Fuzz, touching your dick is technically touching a dick, which means that's gay.
Right. Yeah, I love those takes. And I don't even know if that's ironic stupidity or
intentional.
Real.
Who knows? Yeah. Because
who the fuck knows?
This is the internet.
Yeah, and I've seen people say some really stupid backward shit, you know, like the earth is flat. And it's like, is that an actual opinion that people have? That men masturbating is gay? I mean, well, if that's the case, your balls are always touching because they're in your scrotum.
Uh-oh.
It doesn't have to be another man's balls, right?
It's just your own balls.
Your own balls are touching each other the time. So we're all gay.
You've cracked the code, Fuzz.
Is what I'm saying, yeah. And I guess that means women can't be gay because their ovaries can never touch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they do, there's some severe problems going on.
I'm sure that's happened, that, you know, that a lot of women are probably born with ovaries. Oh, they're both on one side.
Actually, there have been cases where women were born with two uteruses, two sets.
Oh, yeah, like a duck.
But even then...
Just because biology does kooky things sometimes.
Yeah,
I mean,
humanity, biology is weird. It does what it wants, and there is no one standard human.
Yeah. Wow, your mom let you have two dicks.
Yeah, I'm not even a reptile.
So if, if a reptile was born with one dick, that would be a reptile dysfunction.
God dang it, Buzz. So, some cool. We're talking about some furry stuff now.
All right. Yeah.
The
two-dick reptile was totally not a furry thing at all.
No, but right we're gonna segue into the furry stuff. We got a good cool thing that's still working on it. They got Kickstarter. It's got half a month to go.
All right.
Talking about the fandom documentary series that Ash Coyote and Chip Fox.
So, have you watched any of this yet?
I've looked at some of it, but haven't really sat down to watch it.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of it because
But they're working with the free filmmaker guy who did the Fursonas documentary we liked.
Yeah.
That didn't have the jerks in it.
Right.
So like,
which I don't think was the Fursonas one. I think
no, it was the other one.
Yeah.
The Furries. Wasn't it just
called Furry or something?
The Furries. I'm not sure. Where is the campaign? There's the campaign. I'm looking at Kickstarter on my phone here.
Yeah.
So it's got...
Hi, dog. We're recording.
It's with...
Yep.
So we got Ash Kreese, Ash Fox, Eric Risher, who did documentary stuff. Then you got Fox and Moir, Pepper Cody.
Do you want... Pop.
Sure, give me one of the Jolly Rancher ones.
Sure, with those.
Yay! We have been delivered ice cream. Well, frozen treats. This is not ice cream because I can have it. The Jolly Rancher's ice pop. Hell yeah!
Okay, this will be amusing recording a podcast while eating one.
We're just gonna deep throat it and be done.
Well, I mean, I'm not a fox.
Oh God, it's partially melty. Okay, so Fuzz, check it. Oh, I've lost my talent. I can't deep throat the whole thing.
I was going to say, let me grab my phone and press 9-1. Just in case this goes badly.
Let me just loosen my throat and swallow it like a snake. God, that would be terrifying and terrible.
That's okay. Then you Sorry, just Mom. Have to drop trow and be like, okay, I can see the popsicle stick. It's crowning.
Oh, God. Anyways, so... It's still funding. Sorry to the people we're trying to promote here, because we had a distraction in the form
Naughty
of
Naughty Light Polar advertising support.
Oh, that's right. They're not giving us money, so fuck them. Wait. Fox and Peppers are involved. Free filmmaker, and of course, Chip Cody and Ash Kreese, though Ash is the one in charge. He's directing it. Mm. So it's just a documentary series about the history of the fandom, with some writers and first-years and stuff. I saw one dude being, like, super rude to them today. Like, some writer furry being really a jerk about it, but...
Really?
Because they're like, oh, so how many fursuits are you going to have? Like, some? But they're trying to start back at, like, the beginning, so it's, like, art and writing and stuff. Fursuits didn't really exist until, like, the 2000s.
Okay.
In their modern incarnation.
So I did actually ask them, because I asked them on Twitter if there was going to be anything about writing in it, and there isn't. They said that that's in season 2 or something. So,
I mean,
I am a little miffed that... The writing aspect of the fandom does not appear to be represented, at least at this time.
It ain't all about fursuiting, y'all.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't think I was a jerk. I just asked him if writing was going to be
this person on Twitter was being a real jerk.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's a documentary. They've done a couple parts. They're going to put... They put out some of them already. They're aiming to do a feature length thing. They got 33 days left, and they've raised about 9,000 of 20,000 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
So... We'll see what happens. I just think it's a worthwhile endeavor to do a history of the fandom for the fandom.
Yeah, like, actually,
it's not like some outside company coming in to be like, oh, tell us about the furries.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Mountain Dew and Cheetos. Because, I mean, there is a lot of the fandom that, you know, our earliest creators are dying off.
That's true.
Yeah. Like, Philip K. Dye was just turned 50.
Thomas K. Dye. I'm thinking of Philip K. Dye.
Yeah, I'm getting them mixed up. So Thomas K. Dye, his 50th birthday was like this week. Yeah, I mean, a lot of our OG creators who are around when this fandom kind of coalesced into a thing in the late 80s are dying off. So, you know, having a history of it. And yeah, you've got people like Summercat who are putting together the Furry Library.
Well, yeah, which I think that's cool.
Yeah, I have some stuff I need to send them for my personal collection just so I can get it out of my house and they're going to take better care of it. But even then, like, doing a documentary series about the fandom that isn't 100%.
So was it this guy?
Yes.
He's a total asshole.
Okay.
No, I know who it is.
I was like, there's a lot of people I know. Like, I have a lot of people that I follow also follow this guy. He's a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
But you figured it out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
I don't follow him.
It's worthwhile to keep a history of the fandom because we have grown so much since then. And we've evolved to be the queer positive space that it is now. Like... There was a large faction of people that really hated the fact that there were queer people in the fandom in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
And
we just want our big titty mouse and skunk girl and bunny girls, you know.
We just
want
to be skunk fuckers in peace. None of this gay nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Us queers coming in and taking over the fandom is an evolution.
I suppose it was a legit concern because it actually happened. Oh, well.
Yeah. I mean,
but there was also always queer furries.
Oh, yeah. But these are people that were real nasty about it. So, you know, fuck them. You know, that's not the history we want to preserve necessarily. Like, we need to note it and be like, you know, the Phantom has really grown from what it was. Because the Phantom now is, I think, a really good space. You know, we have creators of all stripes. We have art and music and, yes, fursuits and everything else. Like, we've gone from being, you know, just pencil and paper and traditional to all these amazing digital works. It's always really impressive to see really nicely done traditional. But some of the stuff you see pulled off with digital is amazing, too. You know, it's just the types of creativity, you know.
Yeah, there's room for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember, I was looking on E621 a while back, and there's this one dude who did exclusively pen and ink, and he'd done, like, one of his characters was a porcupine lady.
Oh,
so
shit.
It was complex as hell.
Wow, yeah.
It was all pen and ink traditional stuff from, like, the mid-90s, and the only reason that it was scanned and preserved was that some dude bought a random box of crap at a charity auction.
Oh, wow.
At some con, and was like, I've never seen this before, and scanned it. You know, that's really important. I mean, isn't VCL going offline before too long as well?
I don't know. I saw a rumor that was happening, and then there was a lot of outcry about it because, you know, it's a big archive of stuff that's not around. So I know somebody was trying to download as much of it as possible to back it up. I don't know if the original folks have been able to keep it going, but apparently a lot of it is backed up.
I do like that their current website says, welcome to the VCL, the largest, cross through, parentheses, ha 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 ha, no, furry anthropomorphic artwork and story library on the internet.
Yeah, see, they went in and they updated it, and people still upload stuff to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been there forever. I mean, the Orlando Furry Archive is gone. That was gone a long time ago. I wonder if Miavir is still around. I'll have to look.
It might be, but a lot of the links will be broken because it was like a linked site to a lot of stories. So a lot of those sites won't exist anymore.
See, Mia's Index of Anthro Stories, furry.d. Oof, wow. Check it, Fuzz. This is a frame-free website. It still exists. And they have the website furry.d. That's pretty...
.de?
Like... .de, as it's Deutschland.
Okay,
so it's, the local version is in Germany.
Yeah.
Let's see, what other ribbons
do they have? Web ring?
They have a Free Speech Online blue ribbon. They don't have a web ring anymore. How sad. But copyright 1995 and 2002, Dion F. Ramsey. But that dude's not around anymore.
Might surprise you. I mean...
These pages now index 2,501 stories divided into 4,433 files all over the web. So it's probably lots of broken links. But I mean, you know, I remember reading furry stories way back in the day on there. So yeah, the furry fandom has a history that deserves to be preserved. And I think chronicling it in various ways is important.
Yeah.
It is disappointing that doesn't have writers necessarily, because, you know, we recently lost
Fred Patton,
who would have been a really good asset to talk to.
I think it's starting to rain.
Yeah, I felt a couple sprinkles on my hand there, and it's like, if that's the case, we'll have to pause and go inside. But, you know, give it a second. You know, and talk to some of the early writers. I mean, technically, you qualify, Fuzz. Tieran would qualify. You know, Kyle's been writing for a long time. But we have lots of people that have been, like, Roz Gibson's been writing stuff for a long time. We have lots of people that have been in the fandom for essentially forever who would be good resources to talk about, you know, the evolution of furry writing as specifically furry stuff and not, oh, there's cat people in this story. So
yeah, whenever I see something that's like, oh, let's talk about furry stories, they're like, Redwall, and I'm like, I mean, the stuff that, like, we're producing, you know?
Yeah, the fandom itself is making.
The fandom, like, there was some kind of furry book club starting up, and, like, all their suggested books were, like, all these mainstream books from, like, the 70s and 80s, and I'm like, why don't you put some actual...
The Warrior Cats, or...
Yeah, like, why don't you put some actual stuff written by furries on this list? They're like... Well, if you have a book to suggest, you can add it to the list. And I'm like, you need to do your research, man.
Yeah, it's like, that's not my job. So the other big furry thing that happened this week, and we're actually going to, the discussion about this evolved.
Speaking of fursuits,
this particular story evolved quite a bit how we were going to handle it from the start to today. I mean, it's only been a couple days, but there was a fursuit creator. They go by Tayer, and they were trying to launch a fursuit line called Zweisich. Second Self, pretentious ass German name, and they were trying to launch a fursuit line when they did it in a very ham-fisted and extremely, frankly, offensive way. I'm sure people have seen the video, and if they missed out, well, you didn't miss out much. Basically, it was they teamed up with an outside marketing firm, and...
Well, specifically an outside marketing guy who was a friend of theirs. But he produces shit for the mainstream market.
And the terminology that they use, like the first designer fursuit brand, and get something made by a designer, not a tailor. Like, it was really pretentious and put down pretty much everybody in the fandom that makes costumes. And also
just doesn't know what words mean. Because this is something Tieran and I had a discussion with, where it was like, if you buy something made by a designer thing, you go into a high-end store and you find your size and you pull it off the rack. So buying a designer is buying a not-made-specifically-for-you item from a rack that anyone can buy. A tailor, on the other hand, tailored clothing is when someone will fucking make a suit that fits you perfectly. And that is a much higher end and more expensive thing than just buying a designer shirt. You know, buy like a $200 Supreme t-shirt or, you know, an $800 pair of sneakers because they're rare or something like that. Actual tailored clothing is quite expensive.
Yeah.
And when you think about what fursuit makers do, like, it is tailored for you. That's why you do a duct tape dummy. So it is made exactly for your body, and it's bespoke. It's not just like a nicely tailored suit. It's specifically your character or your design. And like that is levels above like just buying a random designer thing. Now, the one thing that they didn't make clear and a lot of people were confused about was, what if I buy this $6,000 suit and then someone else also buys it and you show up at the same con and it's like...
Same dress.
Yeah, except it's same super expensive fursuit and it's the same character. What the fuck? But they did later clarify that that is not the case. They're one-offs. They just wanted to design characters in the way that they design characters and then make like... three suits in a collection, each one would be different, and sell it off.
And which if they could do that and sell them, you'd only have to sell three per season, you know?
Right. And I'm fine with that, to be honest.
I mean, you know, fursuiters and artists are entitled to the value of their labor. And if they can get that for it, cool. I mean, we were discussing it, and, you know, we talked about Miles DF getting $5,000 for a YCH because somebody was cash money enough to do that.
Right.
Okay, well, that's somebody's money, but he didn't put down other artists when he did that.
Right,
like,
yeah.
That is a discussion that can be had, but it was not nearly the same level of pretentiousness, perhaps.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of discussion about this could have been, like, outrage marketing, where they come out with a really outrageous thing, slap their dick on the table, then they do the, oh, we're going to try to do better, and their name is out there, and then they just keep trucking along.
Yeah.
But... it does seem that the artist is putting themselves on a hiatus. They're like, we fucked it up. We're going to redraw this stuff and come back in a bit. Right. Sorry. And, like, they put out a multi-paragraph, like, couple hundred word... Three screenshot thing of them going, yeah, I dropped the ball. I screwed up. I'm sorry. I'm going to put this on a back burner and try again. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's probably the best tack. Because their current brand that they were trying to work with is trash. Like, if somebody showed up with stuff like that...
Sorry, this was really loud.
People would be like, what the fuck, lol, and mess with the purchaser, you know? I don't think furries would be too rude about it, but as something that was previously at the center of a very brief controversy, probably wouldn't be a great idea to... like, immediately run out with the idea.
Yeah.
They had some cool ideas. Like, you know, when they did the fursuit, you'd get the design sketches and the art for the character. And, like, they make a little keychain out of the dulled blades from the tools they use. Which, when I read that, that seemed pretty cool.
It's like an adoptable that comes with the fursuit. instead of just the artwork.
Yeah. I mean, I think $6,000 is pretty wild, especially since there's suit makers out there that can make full-size, full-body, digitigrade suits for $4,500. But if someone wanted to drop that cash on it, all right, well, if you got that cash, go for it.
At the same time, back in the day, someone paid like $15,000 for a fursuit.
Yeah.
And that was just the one I'd heard about. And that's because, like, the dude was, like, had worked in, like, professional costuming for movies.
Yeah.
He'd, like, built, like, werewolf suits. This is Lance Sekigawa. And he made the official Chester suit. Like,
okay, somebody, so that's hot.
Yeah. Somebody went to Terry Smith and said, hey, I want to make a first, I want to have a fursuit made of Chester. I want to basically be Chester at cons. And she gave her blessing. I guess it was somebody that she trusted. And this guy went to, like, who was at the time, like, the best top-tier fursuit maker. And the rumor I heard was that it was, like, $15,000. But, I mean, that was way back in the day, before, like, FA, even. I mean, there are not screenshots or anything like that, you know. But, I mean, I'd believe it.
It's good of them to recognize they messed up and they're taking a step back. They're not pushing forward to drive their brand out there.
Yeah.
Like, you know what's funny? It just seems like just that they made a massive misstep and the fandom was like, what the hell? No.
What's funny is, like, 5 or 10 years ago, apart from the dissing of the fursuit makers part, this would have flown, you know? But right now, in the political landscape of where our fandom is, like, you know, where we're sort of moving as a culture in our community, like, this was, like, totally the opposite direction of where the community is at right now, you know? The marketer definitely misread the room.
Yeah. So now it goes on hiatus, and we mosey on to the next thing, where, you know, furries are posting bad takes about how, oh, dismantle capitalism, ooh-woo, while they buy fursuits and art and dildos, and it's like, you have a fundamental misunderstanding of what capitalism is and isn't.
Yeah.
But that's a lengthy treatise like that I don't have the patience for.
Yeah, our world of supporting independent creators is, like, miles away from I'm going to drop $6,000 on an official Gucci fursuit or something like that. Yeah,
yeah, that's just a 20-year-old dipshit who doesn't know anything, who managed to get a bunch of retweets, but did give me a bunch of people that to block. I was like, well, at least this thread had a purpose, and it was just, this tweet cannot be shown because it's from somebody you blocked. I don't have patience on this website anymore.
I kind of like, my headcanon is that my block list is this angry, hungry beast, and I have to feed it frequently. And it's like, my block list will feed well on the responses to this shitty take.
Yeah. It's like, ooh, this person's very mad that Sony has instantiated new rules about sexual content in their games, specifically limiting underage characters in the West. Ooh, oh. Let's see who's getting mad about censorship.
Was block, this ever block, block. Was that actually a thing that needed to be worried about? Like,
yes.
Okay, all right. Like, in the official games, I mean?
Well, okay, so this was a post on Kotaku from a couple days ago.
Fill me in.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the gamers for a second here, because it was kind of funny. It was an article on Kotaku that Sony has set new rules for what's available, what's acceptable to release in the West in terms of sexual content.
Right.
There was a... Ah, fuck, it's raining. And we're back. So that was exciting. It just all of a sudden started pouring rain on Fuzz's patio, and it wasn't supposed to rain, as far as I know. But let's see, what does Dark Sky say? Possible light rain stopping in 55 minutes.
Yeah, now my watch says 64 degrees and thunderstorms, but it was clear when we started. But that's okay.
And then it's supposed to stop at like 11 p.m. But
I'm willing to accept the risk when we decide to have a nice patio night.
Oh yeah, because it's 65 degrees and we're not going to have that for much longer.
Yeah.
So where were we? We were talking about underage titty games and video games.
Okay.
So Sony basically stopped the release of a game in the West. Things like Valkyrie. It wasn't a Valkyrie Drive game, though. I think one of them did get kind of poo-pooed off. But there was Labyrinth of something W, And it was this titty game where it was about making your high school age characters' breasts grow through magic and shit.
That's the whole point of the game.
It's a dungeon crawler where you have your character and you, through the power of magic, you make their boobs grow. There was a thing where, like, you have a crystal and you put it between their boobs and you have to do this mini game with, like, the thumbsticks to make the boobies jiggle or whatever. Oh, Jesus. And it had a character that looked like she was 12.
Ah.
And it got axed on release.
I was sort of like, yeah, age of consent might be lower there, but...
It's still 16.
Yeah, it's not... 12. They shouldn't even be releasing that over there.
Well, again, they have differing standards.
Right.
And they also changed a couple of games on the Senran Kagura series, which is underage titty ninjas.
Mm-hmm.
They're 16 and stuff in Japan, where that's cool. But here in America, the age of consent's 18, and that's not nearly as cool as people would like to think, I suppose. And so, like, there was a thread on Reddit, on just their standard R game subreddit, which is not a good place. Don't go there. Just don't go to Reddit. Unless you're going to, like, Chapo or Tra or other fun subreddits. And the thread got locked after, like, an hour or two because people were being extremely mad that they can't get their underage titty games on the PlayStation 4.
Wow, what a hill to die on.
Yeah.
Like,
they will God. Die for their games.
Like, throw yourself in front of a bullet for that cause. Like,
like, I must protect my waifu.
What the fuck?
And she'll be like, who the fuck were you? Because you bleed out on the carpet.
Yeah. What is wrong with people, man?
It's like, get it on PC if you really, really, really got to get it.
So they'll still make it available just on PC?
Yeah, it's like they just don't have it available on the PlayStation 4. But right. If you can get it on Steam in a lot of cases, and you can get it, there's like lots of titty games coming out on the Switch for some reason. All digital.
Why?
I don't know, man. I mean, the PlayStation Vita... it's weird because the Nintendo Switch is kind of the successor to PlayStation Vita in that they get a bunch of visual novels and titty games.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Switch is technically region-free, there's kind of like, yeah, sure, whatever. I don't delve too much into the titty games, so I don't know what all's out there.
Yeah.
But, like, Nintendo's been a lot more lenient than, say, PlayStation, like, Sony or Microsoft. Because, like, remember way back in the day, there was this outcry about, Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball 3 was not released in the West because of the censorious left. Well, no, it's more the conservatives who hate sex.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, stuff like that's been going on a long time. But the platform holder is basically setting down new rules where it's like, no, your character has to be a legal adult in the U.S. for us to sell your titty ninja game.
Yeah.
It's not, like, where on the entire internet can I go to see a butt if not my PlayStation 4? Also, need to be careful not to hit this table because it translates noise really well.
Yeah.
That's really it. I just thought it was funny because it was entirely predictable. Like, what are they going to be talking about? Yep, they're talking about their loli games. Yep, they're getting mad and talking about muffery speech. And yeah, it's going to get locked by mods within a couple hours of it being posted. And all of those things came true. Not surprising in the least.
It's funny how the biggest defenders of free speech, they're always defending fascism and pedophilia.
Yep.
It's like,
remember, when someone screams debate you on the internet, that's your cue to block them. It really is, honestly, a good tack. Like, anybody that's screaming about debate is just wanting to waste your time and for you to platform them. If it's something indefensible, don't waste your time. You're not going to change their opinion, and you're only going to pollute your timeline of your friends by arguing with SS Groiper 42069 1488, and you're just going to waste your time. You have better stuff to do than that. Go to E621, find something to fab to, smoke a joint, be gay, do crimes, but don't waste your time arguing with people on Twitter.com. Just respect yourself, okay? Beyond that,
respect yourself.
Also, this major patch for this Smash Brothers came out today. Well, technically came out last night, and nobody could get it until today. They included a stage builder for the game, which lets you arbitrarily draw things.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect that there will be plenty of bad things to be seen. But it's very crude. Mm-hmm. So, like, people have done, like, the real basic things. Like, they did a trans rights, where they did the trans flag.
Yeah.
And there was one where it was, like, Donkey Kong with a trans flag. It's like, trans rights, okay. And stuff like that. So people are doing good memes with it.
Oh, good.
I've seen some... a fun, like, Waluigi stage. There was one that was a really well-made Tetris stage that had, like, blocks that would come down after a time. It was really... the creativity of the day one stuff has been neat. There was one that was a gray screen. You don't remember the DVD logo where it would just bounce around the screen?
Yeah, yeah.
Someone made it where they drew the DVD symbol on a black-gray background and a platform. Oh. And the DVD was a platform that moves around the stage in a similar fashion to how that did. Uh-huh. And it... eventually loops back around.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just like, that's really clever.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember those. Wow.
that was a fun thing to see. Like, cool. I look forward to the fun things, and I pity the moderators that have to deal with the unfun things.
Right.
So, we have a Tumblr question this week. Do you have any more topics you want to hit, Fuzz?
I don't think so.
Okay, so let us hit our inbox. Well, we got a couple things this week. One of which is a, hey, could you do a Mad Lib? It did not provide us a Mad Lib to do, but the other one is answerable. But you can always email us at southpawscast@gmail.com. You can contact us on Tumblr, as this Anon did, at southpawscast.tumblr.com.
Yep.
Find us on Patreon. You can send us messages there. Which means we really like you and really like those.
Waggy wag wag.
Yes. Wags ooboo. Notices your patronage at patreon.com/southpawscast. So Tumblr Anonymous asked a question. A silly request, 2 of 2. If the Mad Lib wasn't acceptable, how all present do their best awoo or howl for the listeners? I bet we'd all love to hear you guys do this one on the podcast. Awoo.
Oh, you're not going to howl?
Awoo. I hope we've angered your dog. I'll make sure to post the reaction on Twitter when Adam hears this section. Poor little guy has not appreciated the weather in the last little bit.
Have you seen those signs at the zoo with a picture? It's like, thank you for not howling at the wolves.
Like, why are these humans coming in and cursing at us? What the hell? Why are they saying these things?
And there's that one video of the... she's a woman, she's kneeling between, like, two sleeping wolves, and she starts howling, and everyone's like, oh, it's so cute, she started to howl, and I'm like, man, that's rude, she just woke them up.
It's like, they were having a very nice nap, how dare you?
And, like, one in, they both look tired as fuck, and one of them just gives a sort of half-hearted, and then goes back to sleep. I'm like, yeah, it's me on a Monday.
Other than that, been watching the new season of Sabrina. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
We both finally saw Spider-Verse.
Yes. Yes.
That was really extremely cool. I'm sad that I missed seeing it in theaters with, like, super duper surround sound, but I've got a nice home theater, so it worked out. I think it's on Netflix now. They mentioned it's now available on demand.
Oh, okay. But cool.
It might also be only on demand on, like, cable. My monthly price is increasing to $13 on May 18th. Well, fuck you, Netflix.
They just did another increase, too. Like, yep. They've been rolling it out gradually. I don't know if I've gotten
it. Yeah, it's like it went up a dollar. Oh, nope, another dollar.
Yeah.
$4. Dollars, dollars, dollars.
That's pretty.
Plus, you've got, like, Disney Plus, which is launching in a bit, which is, like, $70 a year. Can't wait to go back and see those classic shows, like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington or the weird 50s era movies.
Well, I mean, remember, they're going to have, like, all the Marvel stuff, a lot of the Fox stuff, probably
all the Star Wars, like, it should all be pretty stacked, but yeah. I'm also just looking at back, like, some of, like, the original Pete's Dragon, the computer wore tennis shoes,
the 1950s version of Flubber with Jerry Lewis,
yeah, where it's like, you know, insert casual racism here from the 50s.
Oh god,
it's like,
I don't think they're going to be rolling out with Song of the South or something like that.
So Spider-Verse is not on Netflix yet. Mm-hmm. Infinity War is. Thor Ragnarok is, Ant-Man and Wasp is, but not the first Ant-Man. Anyways, so, yes, media, video games, etc. We have howled, we have done your dance, and it is 9:30. Anything else, Fuzz?
I'm tired now from my mad dash in after the...
Yeah, we had to grab the laptop and run inside real quick,
because yeah.
We didn't want to get anything wet. We didn't want to get it all moist.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's going to wrap it up for this week.
Yeah. Yeah, we were on a roll, and then we kind of got interrupted by weather. And
then that kind of threw us off. But we're done. Yeah. We talked about all our topics we wanted to do this week, and it's still probably going to be at least an hour long by the time we get done. So,
which is fine.
Yep. You can find the show, Southpaw's Cast, on iTunes, Southpaw's Cast on Google Play, Southpaw's Cast .tumblr.com, email us at southpawscast@gmail.com, and on Patreon at patreon.com/southpawscast.
Quick update on that. Patreon announced the actual date in May that their new tiers are going to kick into gear.
That's the 7th.
And it's going to be May 7th. So they specifically said you have until May 9th at 11:59 p.m. Pacific U.S. time to set up a Patreon at the old, at the grandfathered in tier levels. If you've ever thought about doing a Patreon, you might want to go ahead and launch it and just have it like kind of sitting there so that you're grandfathered in. Also, I'm pretty sure that they're going to ungrandfather those in like a year or two at most, because they're not going to let a significant chunk of users just sit there at the old levels.
They're not sucking enough of your money away.
Yeah, and not pay them more money. And it blows, because the only reason they're doing this is because their investors want their very successful platform to produce more money.
After the revolution, venture capitalists get the wall.
Yeah.
And or the wood chipper, depending on their crimes. The people that killed Toys R Us, they get the wood chipper.
Ugh, yeah, totally.
So, you can find me advocating for the expulsion of the bourgeoisie at Saverin Drake on Twitter, at Saverin at snouse.online, and Saverin on Twitch, though I have been sick and am only just recently getting my voice back to normal and haven't streamed for like 2-3 weeks at this point. Sorry to the 2 or 3 people that would come by consistently.
Find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. That's really about it. I'm just busy lately.
Powered by Fur Planet.
Powered by Fur Planet, yeah. Go to furplanet.com to order print books. Go to baddogbooks.com to order ebooks. That would be awesome. And the next con we'll have tables at will be FWA, which is in May.
It's coming up soon.
Which is pretty soon, yeah. So Tieran will be going to that one. I think he's stealing my car for it. Yeah.
Yep.
He's going to steal my car.
Might steal Zia.
Yes. Zia's flying out there.
Yeah.
Because the car is going to be way too packed for anybody else.
Yep.
All right. We're running out of room. We have so many titles now. Oh, we're going to have like books from some of the other furry publishers also. Like, I've ordered some stuff for distribution from the other small presses. Yeah. So we'll have stuff from Goal and Weasel. Thurston Howell will be there, so we won't have their stuff because they'll be there themselves. But we'll also have, like, Soph Wolf's books as well. And, of course, you know, all of our own stuff. So if you're at FWA, you know, come to the dealer's room and see us. If you hear this before then, hopefully you should.
Cool. So, on that note, good night.
And buy books.